It really was. Anybody else could have done this. So I'm thankful. Very thankful. Preachers, love your elders. Wow. That's a loaded phrase. It's a powerful phrase. And I believe it's something that all of us need to consider, and it is worthy of our consideration. I believe that we need to do a better job of loving our elders. In Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 6, just for some preliminary things, just to say, God told Ezekiel, this prophet, this one who bubbled over for him, "Son of man, I want you to do something. I want you to warn some people. Warn the wicked. And if he turns from his ways, he will live. But if you fail to warn the wicked and he dies in his wickedness, the blood will be upon your head." That's to the preacher. And then it goes on even further in Ezekiel 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now God is telling Ezekiel about the shepherds. The shepherds were not feeding the sheep. As a matter of fact, they were feeding themselves. And when you look at verse number 8, they were wandering off into the wilderness, into the mountains, being destroyed by the beast of the field. In essence, God was telling Ezekiel that the shepherds of Israel were not taking care of the Israelites, and they were just being devoured by the people. And then we look at verses 11 and 12. God says, "I have to be a shepherd to my people. I will go get them." You know, what a powerful thing there. Here you see the prophet or the preacher, and then you see the shepherds, and then you see God. And brethren, when we consider what we need to deal with today, preachers loving your elders, that is all about a relationship. Amen. Let me go on record by saying that the things in which I have to present this morning, I've had great help over the years. Good counseling myself. I've had questions myself and have consulted with individuals, even in this room, that have helped me to be a better man for the job of a preacher in relationship, here it is, to my elders. It is a relationship. I liken it unto 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, how husbands ought to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. Brethren, the same thing goes on as it relates to our relationship with the elders. It's a relationship, and we must know them. That necessitates a relationship. It necessitates spending time with one another. If a husband and a wife don't want to spend time with one another, that relationship will fail. Same goes for the elder and the preacher relationship. I also liken it unto a big brother. You know, growing up, mom and dad would leave and they would say, "James, you're in charge." Now, we know that James was not, that's my older brother, he was not the father of the house, but he was the one that mom and dad left in charge. We had to answer to him. We understand that according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, that Christ is the head of the church. God put all things under his feet. We understand that, but elders are the ones supposed to shepherd the church. Amen. We need to be listening to them in matters of expediency. As a matter of fact, brethren, there's nothing in this word that they can change and be right with God.
Right.
So they are ruling, or they are governing in matters of expediency. We understand that. One thing I love about talking to my fellow brethren, I didn't come to preach to you, but I want to let you know some things. Number one, we have a charge. Before we can even talk about the preacher and the elder relationship, we must realize that we have a charge. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2, we already know it, preach the word. We have a charge. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We have a charge. We also need to be keeping our lives and our doctrine intact. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 16. Paul told this young evangelist, we all know the passage, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. We have a charge. We have a responsibility to do what God has called us to do. To preach the word. To speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse number 11. Number 2, we have to be loyal. Oh, brethren. I'm talking more to myself than I am to anybody in here. We have to be loyal, number one, to God. That's where our loyalty lies. First and foremost, you cannot love the eldership until you love God.
Right.
Why? Because loving the eldership is going to require you to show some respect, some honor. But if a man doesn't respect and honor God and he mounts the pulpit, brethren, we're doing God a disservice.
Yeah.
Goes back to what Brother Vessel was talking about as it relates to having that relationship with God. We have to have that relationship with God. Therefore, we have a charge. And at times we have to reprove and we have to rebuke and we have to do it with all authority. Titus 2 and verse 15. Brethren, we do have authority. It's in the Word.
Yeah.
And I want to say this from the onset. When we know that we are pleasing God, that should be enough. That ought to be enough. Number three, reverence. Reverence. We need to remember that God wants us to be reverent. Matter of fact, let me back up a little bit to loyalty. Especially for my young preaching brethren. Paul called Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11, all man of God. He was God's man. He belonged to God. Young preachers and older preachers, we don't belong to the eldership. We don't belong to the congregation. We belong to God. We're God's mouthpieces. Standing in the stead of Jesus the Christ, preaching to the people in hopes that they will listen to God and enhance their lives on their way back home to heaven.
Amen.
We're not hirelings. If you are a hireling, I will not take this back. Get out of preaching.
Yes.
We're not hirelings. The congregation, the brethren, yes, they have brought us on, and I like what you said, Brother Martin, that we are engaged in this work, and yes, we understand that they may have hired us, but we are not employees.
Right.
We are supported by the truth of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, and also Galatians chapter 6. We're supported. I tell my elders all the time, you don't pay me. You support me. That's a big difference. Now, that's strong words. Someone might have a problem with it, but you can't disprove it. I know it's true. We are supported men of the truth. We live by the gospel.
Right.
Therefore, if a man doesn't preach the gospel, he shouldn't be supported by it.
That's right.
We ought to be preaching the whole counsel of our God. We understand that we're laboring for God. And we understand that elders have oversight of the church. As a matter of fact, let us never think that we're over the elders. We're not. Elders have the authority, Acts 20 and verse number 28. Paul made that clear. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. And also in verse number 17. They're to rule. They're to be the examples. We understand that. There's no power struggle. Jesus didn't have a power struggle with his Father. Therefore, we shouldn't have power struggles with the eldership.
Right.
They have a rule. We understand that. And every sound gospel preacher shouldn't have a problem with saying yes, sir, to the elders.
Yes, sir.
Reverence, here we go. Let us remember to have the proper attitude. You remember in 1 Samuel 24:6, David's attitude towards Saul. Now, Saul, shame on him, brethren. Being king, the first king of Israel, the United Kingdom, and the way that he treated David was inexcusable. How he wanted to kill David. David did absolutely nothing wrong to him. But you remember in verse number 6, in that context, he cut the edge of his robe, indicating that I could have killed you. I could have destroyed you. But David's attitude was, I'm not going to stretch my hands toward God's anointing. Brethren, we need to show love to the eldership by not trying to destroy the eldership with our words, even with our thoughts. Because whatsoever man thinketh, so is he. Whatever's in your mind is going to come out in your actions. You have to be careful. But brethren, that is a two-way street. And here, listen, this may just be my personality coming out, but I refuse to be disrespected by another man.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Now, I will address you in a very respectful way, but you will not disrespect me and get away with it. Elderships need to respect the preacher. Preachers need to respect the eldership.
Sure.
They're not your boss per se. You're working together. When you have the right attitude, you understand that they're in control. We understand that. But never, never, never disrespect the eldership. Why? Because you are disrespecting the office that God has put in place, Ephesians 4:11-16.
Right.
When you disrespect the eldership, you're disrespecting God. That's the last individual you want to disrespect.
Right.
He's the last one. You don't want to do that. I don't care how upset, how disgruntled, how bitter you may be towards your eldership, keep yourself in check. Because that's still God's position. That's God's position. So we want to show reverence. We want to make sure that they are being respected. Never let it be said that you're usurping your authority. Never let that be said. Amen, brethren. I don't care how inadequate your eldership may be, never let it be said that you are usurping your authority. Stay in check. I have a good brother, I'll call his name out, Don Walker, thank you. He's always told me, stay in check, Mike. Stay in check. Stay in check. You know, we need to stay in check. We need to realize that we're God's men. It doesn't matter how men may act or conduct themselves, we must stay in check and realize that God is in control. Never cross the line. I want to show you something real quick. It is the membership directory of the North Fifth and Great Church of Christ. And everyone in this directory, my shepherds are responsible for. Now, that's going to be very important here in a minute. And the reason why that's important, brethren, because if you have an eldership, they're responsible for every member that is in the flock where they are overseeing. They're going to give an account to them, to God for them. So I want you to keep that in mind. Godly elderships are entrusted to oversee the church. They have the task of guarding the congregation from false teaching and false living. This is an honor. And we need to tell the eldership from time to time, brethren, it is an honor to oversee God's people.
Yeah, right.
That's an honor.
Right.
It's a privilege. It's not a right. That's why you have 27 qualifications between Titus and Timothy. Put them all together, brethren. It's an honor to be an elder in the Lord's church. But not only that, it's an honor to be a preacher.
That's right.
To be a gospel teacher, it is an honor, brethren. When we consider what are we trying to do? We're trying to assist the eldership in getting the congregation as close to heaven as possible. We understand that they have a responsibility, the membership, of doing what they need to do. But brethren, we have a responsibility. Genuine love for the elders, we have their highest and best interests at heart. 1 Corinthians 13. It's time for strong preachers and elders to join together in the spiritual war, helping the congregation to get back home. That's our responsibility. But I want to make a special note. Because when I was at Southwest, we always talked about eldership. But my first work didn't have elders. I was almost at a loss. When we consider what is the preacher's attitude without elders, number one, he needs to keep himself in check with the Word of God, along with the brethren, understanding that he is one of the men that is going to help lead the church in hopes of rearing up men, teaching men to grow up and be elders. Unfortunately, because of pride issues, we have men that want the control and don't want to go by God's standard, Acts 14 and verse number 23, ordaining or appointing elders in every congregation. So if you go to a congregation without elders, you have a lot of work on your hands to stay humble and to realize that you're not the man that's in control, God is. And you need to enlist all of the men. Here it is, to be faithful. Now, I want to make a point here. God has never enlisted unfaithful men to carry out his business. Never. We understand that in Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 21, only faithful men were used. Jethro told Moses and gave him some qualifications. And Acts chapter 6 and verse number 3, special situation there, the Grecian widows, there was three qualifications there. God didn't just pick anybody.
Right.
Now, this is not part of the lesson, this is free. And I have done it before. If a man is not faithful and he wants to come to the business meeting without elders, you can sit in, but you shut up. God doesn't use unfaithful men, brethren. Why should we?
That's right.
Why should an unfaithful man have a voice with faithful people? It shouldn't happen.
I know it's right.
I know it's right. Because you know what we do with unfaithful men? We chastise them. We rebuke them. We help them to become faithful. But do not let an unfaithful man make decisions and help make decisions in the church. Roles. Then it's all about teamwork. It's about working together. It's about keeping each other accountable, realizing that we're all in the same body, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, and that we cannot afford to be puffed up in our minds, Romans 12 verses 3 and following.
Amen.
Elders, I'm a preacher, love your elders. That's one way you can do it. Don't be arrogant. Do not think, and I have this in my mind, brethren, I'm a 40-year-old man. One of my elders is 70 years old. That's not much I'm going to tell him. Young preachers coming out of preaching school, do not think you're going to go as a young man and tell an old man what to do. It's not going to happen. You need to treat him as a father. You need to talk to him with respect and honor. And show him that you love him regardless of how he treats you. I said before, we're men. Young preachers, you're a man. If you desire to be treated like a boy, don't go into preaching yet. You're a man. And you have to love God enough to know that. But there's an elephant in the room. I need to talk about that elephant real quick. Just for about 2 minutes. There's an inadequacy in our elderships. Now, brethren, this is very important as it relates to preachers loving your elders. Because if we don't get this one down, it will cause us to become bitter. It will cause us to look at our eldership sideways. And it will cause us to come to venues like this and we'll just bash the elders, knowing that God is listening to every word we're saying. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. So, there's an inadequacy. Number one, some of our elders don't know the Bible. That's not good. How can an elder lead the flock or assist in leading the flock if you don't know the book? Time is out for us looking or not looking at those 27 qualifications and just putting men in office, appointing them because they're good businessmen. That's wrong, brethren. That's sinful. And I will go on record to say that if a man is one or designed to be appointed and the elders want to put him in, that's my last sermon. Because it's downhill from there. Think about it, brethren. We have a responsibility as God's men to make sure that the word of God is being upheld. Now, if you go to a place and the eldership is already inadequate, go help it. Set it in order. Titus 1:5, we understand that. But do not allow that to happen under your watch.
That's right.
Think about that. So there's an inadequacy in the eldership as it relates to biblical knowledge. Hospitality. The elders must be hospitable. And we have to teach them this. We have to show them this. They're slow and they're slack sometimes. We understand that they allow the sheep to suffer at times. Now, I want to say this. Because of the inadequacies of the eldership doesn't mean that the sheep has to suffer. That means you just have to work a little harder. And still be in line with what Brother Martin said. You still got to take your days off. You still got to be with your family. But sometimes you got to step up. Do not have the attitude, that's not my job. It's all of our jobs. So you encourage the eldership. Let me get to my 5 points. Oh, that's an introduction. Alright, because I only got 13 minutes. Preachers, love your elders. Keep this passage in mind, Matthew 25:21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Keep that in your minds. Alright? That's the goal. That's not only the goal for the eldership, for the preacher, for the deaconship, but it's the goal for the congregation and the whole world. That's the words that all of us ought to desire to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. News bulletin, elders are servants. Y'all just go like this. Elders are servants. They are not the ones to be served. They're servants. And we have to continue to love them and teach them that. Number one, we demonstrate love by encouraging them. Brethren, love your elders. Encourage them. Encourage them that if they're not biblically astute, if they are not enhancing their knowledge on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, encourage them to do so. How? Buy them a book or two. Take them a couple books from here. Let them know that, hey, I love you, I love the congregation, I want you to be stronger. And the only way you can do that is enhance your knowledge and your relationship with God. Ask them to watch their lives. Keep in mind that they're supposed to be blameless and above reproach. And I love this point here. Remind your elders, here it is, that we owe it to God to be faithful. You know, if you're faithful to God, you'll be faithful to the congregation.
Right.
Love the elders enough to tell them that, to help them to develop in all areas of their lives so the congregation can benefit. But notice this point. Encourage your elders to be positive and not pessimistic. And encourage them not to settle for mediocrity. Just doing the bare minimum just to get by. God forbid if preachers wait till 8:30 to start crafting their lesson. God forbid if an elder will not take the job of shepherding seriously. Preachers, love your elders. The reason why I wanted to start in Matthew 25:21, because if you see your elders and they're not being what they need to be, say something. Approach them as a father. Do not blast them from the pulpit. That's wrong. Don't do that. But let them know in a very loving way as you approach them. And I want you to understand the task and the difficulty of this task. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. But you need to do the task. Every now and then when I'm talking to the eldership, I'll let them know, straight up, you're responsible for the sheep. I'm to help you. I'm not responsible solely for them. You know, brethren, we need to man up some ourselves. And stop acting like, anyway. Under number one, elders must watch and feed the flock. We owe it to the flock. We owe it to the eldership to challenge them not to be lazy. Why? Because souls are hanging in the balance.
Right.
It's unfortunate that people who are outside of the church, living immoral lives, dying in their sins, Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. It's unfortunate that they're going to die in their sins and be separated from God eternally, but why should an elder or any member of the church that can encourage them? And we have to let them know that they are episcopuses. They are overseers. The word in the Greek literally means they are to be skeptics. They ought to be watching everything that's going on in the church. False doctrine should never creep in. False living shouldn't creep in. And if it does, they need to handle it. We need to love the eldership enough. Number two, we need to demonstrate our love by challenging them. When they're wrong, I'm just using things that I use. When they're wrong, when elderships are wrong, and sometimes they are. Everybody look at me, please. No disrespect, but please look up. Sometimes elderships are wrong. And we have to man up in the office and say, with all due respect, brethren. Why? Because you're respecting the position.
That's right.
And you're respecting this man because he's your brother in Christ, too.
Right.
Hopefully you just don't talk to men any kind of way and think that they don't sit there and take it. With all due respect, brethren, we need to take care of these things. With all due respect.
Yes.
Do not be so quick to leave a situation and then allow the flock to just go astray. You're there to help the congregation, to set it in order, to make sure that the flock stays straight. You're there to help the eldership. They need your help.
Amen.
Don't argue with them. I actually believe that, brethren. Do not argue with the eldership. Show them enough respect that even if you disagree with them wholeheartedly, don't argue with them. Show them enough respect and keep your voice calm when you're talking to them, because keep in mind that you're God's man and you're under the control of Jesus Christ. Don't argue with them, because they'll lose respect for you. And you always want to have the respect of your eldership. Don't let the congregation talk bad about them. Submit to them publicly and privately. Challenge them to man up. 1 Kings 2 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, and 1 Samuel 4 verse 9, tell them to play the man. Now smile, it's going to be okay. I only got 6 more minutes, but I got to deal with that. The congregation needs to know that their eldership are men, and that they're not ran by their wives. Well, and preacher, don't you be ran by your wife either. Don't let your wife get you in trouble. They need to stop the mouths of the gainsayers, Titus 1:11. Nip situations in the bud before they get out of hand, and they need to communicate effectively. And you know what? Some elders just need to be taught that. They don't know that. So they need to be taught those things. And at this point, a congregation that is informed is easy to lead. Encourage the eldership to have congregational meetings, letting the congregation know instead of letting their wife know, then the wife let everybody know. Brethren, it is real. Love your eldership enough to challenge them. Let's get the congregation together. In Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, there was a situation there. They brought everybody together. Everybody. It would behoove the eldership to get the congregation together a couple times a year, just letting them know what's going on. They have a right to know, brethren. And preachers ought to love the congregation and love the elders enough to do so. Number three, we can demonstrate love by giving them the benefit of doubt sometimes. They're people. They're men who have problems. John 14 and verse number 1, man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. They got issues. They got to deal with some emotional things at times. Their children go astray. Finances go awry in their life as well. Sometimes you need to let the congregation know, back off. You need to have your elders back and encourage them to have your back. But you got to have their back. It's all about Matthew 25:21, hearing those words, well done. We must help them to fight the good fight of faith. When a soldier goes down, I don't care if he's an elder or a member sitting in the back pew, we ought to be helping that individual. Why? Because you reap what you sow. You want help when you're down. Love your elders. And love them with all of your heart. And when they don't want to do what is right, you do what is right regardless. Man, I am so thankful for older brothers that have helped me out. Because sometimes as a young man, you just want to do your own thing. You get frustrated and bitter and cynical. That should not happen. Keep yourself under check. Number four, we're to demonstrate love by befriending and exhorting them. Esteem them before the congregation from time to time. Young preachers, don't overdo it. Don't be a brown noser. Don't do that. Don't be vying for attention. Don't be trying to extend your contract. Don't do that. Every now and then, let the congregation know that the eldership is doing a good job. And if they're not doing a good job, let the congregation know, this is the way I do it. Y'all encourage the elders. I don't tell them that they're not doing a good job. That's not good. That doesn't foster good relationships. You don't let the congregation know that they're inadequate. You don't do stuff like that. But you let them know that. Encourage them. Get to know them. This is a relationship. Esteem them before the congregation. They're worthy of double honor, which means 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 that you praise them. You buy them things that's going to help them. Send them cards. I send my elders text messages. Love you, brother. Appreciate your leadership. Yeah, I know we didn't see eye to eye on that, but that's fine. I still love you. Love you too, Brother Barnum. Man up, brethren. You God's man. Stop being afraid of man. If anything, fear God. That's the one you fear. No disrespect, but if you go to a restroom like me, there's no reason for me to fear you. So if you go to the restroom the other way, I sure don't fear you. No disrespect. Hopefully, y'all ain't going to the restroom both ways. Send them a card, brother. Every now and then, take a load off their back. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18. Give them a rest for a period of time. I hear that elders need to send preachers away. Preachers need to send the elders away for a little bit. Go spend some time with one another. Go have a cup of coffee with one another. Go spend some time at a workshop. It'll be okay. Pray with them from time to time. Find opportunities to spend time with them. Develop friendships with them. Have their back. Number five. Need to demonstrate love by developing them. The elders who are puffed up with pride and don't think they can learn anything, this won't work. Brethren, there's not a person in this room or in this building who is not above teaching. God forbid. If your elders won't listen to you privately, bring lessons publicly that will challenge them and develop them. But don't call them out, brethren. Why? They're your leaders. I tell my elders all the time, can I follow you to heaven? If not, why not? That's what a leader is supposed to do. Lead. You must help them. Pray with them. Study with them. Put them in a position to grow. Organize fellowships. Have them speak. Pick them up and take them visiting with you. Grab them and have a talk with them. Develop them into what God desires for them to be. And my last point in 9 seconds, preachers, love your elders.
Amen. Amen. Amen.